to Close It Now, the podcast that's revolutionizing the HVAC and home improvement trades industries. Get ready to dive deep into the world of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're turning up the heat on industry standards and cooling down misconceptions. And we're not just talking about fixing vents and adjusting thermostats. It's about the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. We're the driving force inspiring top performers who crave excellence, not only in their professional endeavors, but also in fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. This is Close It Now, where excellence meets excitement. Let's get to work. Now your host, Sam Wakefield.
Well, all right, welcome back to Close It Now. Sam Wakefield here. I am honored to have two guests on the show today. Not one, but two. it's been a minute since we've watched some Sesame Street with the kiddos, but for everybody out there, if you remember the count. So today I am joined by two individuals. You have heard the first one on the show before. This is Jason James. If you haven't listened to the episode we did once upon a time, where he went over how to use the microscope in selling IAQ, in investigating systems, looking for opportunities. It's not looking for opportunities to sell. It's looking for things that could be possible dangers for homeowners to make them aware, and then they decide what their best course of action is. And so if you haven't heard that episode, I've gotten so much feedback over the last couple years from technicians and from salespeople and owners across the country who have ordered the microscope. And Jason, I don't even know if I filled you in on a lot of it. Man, there's incredible response from that episode that it's helped many. Yeah, so I apologize for not filling you in on that. So many people across the country have seen some really incredible results from using that tool in their investigation process. So today, everybody, we are turning the corner. The date of recording here is August 14th. And as you know, in our industries, you have to, you do dig the well before you need it, meaning we're looking ahead now into the fall. And as everyone across the country and around the world even starts getting into your heating checks, what are you doing in your heating checks? What are you doing in your maintenances? What are you doing as we get into heating season to keep your homeowner safe and to do a thorough investigation? So today, this is partially what we're going to talk about. This is our heat exchanger episode. It is a, no pun intended, hot topic. And so we're going to cover that. The other gentleman that I have on with me today is Mr. Bill Ratliff of Right Way HVAC, Right Way. In you are in Columbus, is that right?
That is correct. That's right.
Columbus, Ohio. So yeah, the state that's round on both ends and tall in the middle. So glad to have y'all both today. I'm honored to have you both on, and I'm excited about our conversation. But before we get into it, but first, I've got a question for you. I have Hebrew tattooed on my wrist. I saw you have Hebrew tattooed on your arm. What is it? What's it say? Take us through it.
All right. Yeah, it's actually in the Greek on this one.
And Greek on the other side. Love this. Surprise questions are always fun.
All right. That was a surprise question. I get that a lot. It's all about love, believe it or not. First one on the bottom there is this one is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Okay.
You know, and the next one is Ahava, which Ahava is a deep abiding love for God's people. You know, he loves you, period. You know, there's no strings attached. And then there is, it's translated to the Latin over here, or though that's still Hebrew. I'm sorry. Over here is the Latin. Mm-hmm. And the Hebrew is faith, or this was actually particularly hope for the coming of the Messiah, because it's Old Testament.
Uh-huh. And bonus here, points if you can say it in Hebrew too. So,
because, well, yeah, cool deal. It's Ave. Then over here were agape, which is Greek, you know, and then over here is faith in Greek. So now, you know, that we feel the Messiah has come, that, you know, I have my faith in Jesus Christ. And over here is the Gentiles, which means we're all a little screwed up. We all need Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean we live by faith, but we live by, we don't live by works, obviously. We live by faith.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that's kind of it.
So, love it. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. That's awesome. So since we're going down the tattoo road for a second, this is part of getting to know everybody. This is what podcasts are about. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. It's my show. So on my rest here is Bachir, which is chosen or elect. My full name is Samuel, which is called of God in direct translation. So this is a version of that. And it's really fun. So actually over here on my, get to show off my guns over here. So on my right arm, for everybody listening, you'll have to go watch the YouTube and make sure to go like and subscribe. But vine with the crown of thorns represents Jesus because he's the vine and we're the branches. And very then from the center here, we've got the trifoil, which is a Trinity representation. Then this is about a 20-year-old tattoo, but all of these rays of light coming out from the center because God is light. And then over here, the bird, it's a sparrow. It was originally going to be a dove, but white tattoos are really boring. So it is sparrow. So this is a loose translation of the Trinity. And so so I get two.
I love it. I like that.
So there's my there's my version of all of that. So for everybody listening, no, what we are not saying is you have to be a specific religion. One of the things that I love is absolutely 100% be in alignment with your core values. Do what you know you should be doing in your own spiritual life and spiritual practice. I love it. So awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. Jason, where's your tattoos? Tattoo episode, no?
Another episode, yeah. We can't.
Yeah, we get to good. I have a whole bunch more we could cover, but that's not. We don't have time for that today. Nor does everybody want to see where all of mine are either. But awesome, man. Well, I love it. Thanks for sharing. So it sounds like your core values are really important to you when you bring that. Let's bring that forward into the business a little bit. So you guys are Right Way in Columbus. Sounds like clearly the name even leans towards that.
100%. Just about everything we do is as in our world, you know, like you said, whatever religion you are, you know, that's up between you and God. Us, we don't drive it like, we don't tout it every day, but the core with everything is doing everything as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now he sees you no matter where you're at. So you need to be honest with integrity. You need to do it as if he sees everything. There's nothing you can hide from it. So be who you are, be the best version of yourself and, you know, keep repping, you know what I mean? In all aspects of it, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Love this. Well, let's take us into this episode a little bit. And one of the things that I was hearing from you is, you know, your journey into the business, you know, started roughly 16 years ago. Of course, before that, you were still in the industry before you got into owning your own business, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I've been doing about 28 years total.
Okay. So. Yeah, right on. Yeah.
Delivered pizzas in high school before this.
You know, it's all service, right?
I guess.
So Jason, talk to us a little bit. Let's back up because, you know, when we were brainstorming this episode, there's a couple things that y'all said that I wish I had just been recording because we were getting into it. But talk to me about y'all's philosophy on, you know, on that balance between being the overly excited technician, being the sales guy. You know, that take us into that conversation because there's a comparison that you made, Bill, that I absolutely love. And it breaks it down and simmers this whole concept down into very easily understandable explanation.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much to cover, but there's also not a lot. It's really, really simple. You know, when we go in a customer's house, we don't generally talk religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
But we walk the path of doing the right thing. So we get in there, we look for the problems, and we offer solutions to that. So the technician has to have that mindset. If they, you know, they have meetings all the time at companies they get the technicians together and they're like, hey guys, you know, we need to get our revenue up. Sales have been down. You guys really need, we need to find out what's going on. And, you know, just like Bill was saying, you know, you got different tech, you got the fix it guy, you got the sales guy, and then you got the professional.
That's so I didn't mean to steal your thunder and pass it over to James. No.
But it's the truth. I mean, if you are going to go buy some food or buy another product outside of this industry, most people like the best. So, you know, if you're in college and you're living on ramen noodles and shopping at Aldi's, then that's your motivation to someday afford to go to better places to eat. And it's no different with customers. You know, sometimes they don't have the money to replace the system, and a sales tech doesn't see that. And sometimes, you know, it's not about the money. It's about other things. And being the kind of guy that would put yourself in your customer's shoes and try to see where they're at, it all comes down to doing the right thing and, and being genuinely interested in helping somebody. You know, I have people that hardly have any money, but they already know that 20-year-old furnace may not be a great investment. So they start calling, you know, their uncle or their mom or their dad and say, hey, I'm in a pinch. I really don't want to fix this thing. You know, people always buy what they want. You know, whether it's your car to go to work in, whatever it is, they buy what they want. So it's our job to help them find that. And it's so hard when you got a group of guys and a company that says, hey, we're going to pay you commission. We're going to pay you a spiff. And this is one of your motivating reasons to work a little harder and dig into the system and find it. And then that's where you start to see the true colors of a technician. I've had technicians that fail almost every heat exchanger they come across. And half of those are not bad. So, you know, that guy weeds himself out eventually. And then you got the guys that don't even look at the heat exchangers. They're like, oh, it's only 5 years old. There's no sense in trying to take it apart to get in there and look at it. And it's like, well, who are you to throw the customer's safety under the bus? You should look. That's your job, for one. That's part of your job title. And if you're not looking, you're throwing somebody else's safety under the bus. And I don't think that's fair to the customer. And I think Bill 100% agrees with me on that. And, but, you know, when we're three people here talking about safety, you know, we all know that's number one. But getting your team motivated to want to do that, that integrity of doing it when nobody's looking, that's where it's an honor thing. You know, it's who are you? What are you? Who are you? And so,
yeah, I love that so much. Actually, Bill, I'd love to pass this back over to you. Define the service tech, salesman, professional a little bit more for us, the way you were telling me earlier. And then the question after that is what, to springboard off of what Jason was just saying, is, you know, being the owner and being the leader in your organization, you know, and I'm sure it's a shared responsibility here, but how do you create the culture around, you know, doing the right thing? Clearly, you know, right way is the company, but how do you create the culture around that where it's more than just the name on the wall, and to inspire and motivate them to, you know, to be the professional and not, you know, and how do you train them?
I think you first got to start out with the system. I think the system is everything. When you look at the system, you're looking at from the time you pull up to the house, from the time you get out of the car. You know, you don't want to pull up to the home and you don't want to spend 10 minutes sitting in front of their home. Yeah, it makes people nervous, you know. What you're trying to do is not psychologically trying to sell anything. You're trying to offer the absolute best customer service that you can offer. It's going above and beyond customer service. And what does that mean? It means making it a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You park your vehicles on the streets. You don't park them in the driveways. You know, they say that every homeowner has a slight claustrophobic. And when you park in your driveway, you lock them in. They can't escape. So they're already on tense. They're already on nine. They don't like you. They saw you pull up. They looked out their window. They was expecting you. It starts with the call before you even get there. You know, hi, my name is Bill. I'm with Right Wing Heating and Cooling. We're en route to your home, you know, and just simply making that call that lets them know. And then the bio that comes over with that. So as soon as you make that phone call, you hit on your way. Now you get the bio of the technician to get a picture and who that technician is, right? Once you pull up to that home, man, I mean, friends knock on doors. Friends don't ring doorbells. You know, you got all that, you know, they're going for you too. So our technicians knock on doors. You know, that is a part of our system. When they step back from the stoop, you lower your resistance by turning sideways. You put on your feet covers. You let them know, I care about your home. And sometimes you care about your feet. You know?
You know? Sometimes it's to protect you from that space. that house that you can smell from the curb the second you pull up.
And have you ever had somebody compliment you? Just a simple compliment, you know? On a simple compliment, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you have that waiter that's like, oh, I love that shirt. You know, what they're saying is I care about you. You know, it's about you right now. The call is saying it's not about Right Way. It's about you. It's about the homeowner. So the very first move to get in there, we call our homeowners by their first name. Friends call people by their first name. I'm not going to call you Mr. Wakefield. That tells me I'm not your friend. I'll call you Sam. All right. I'm not going to call Mr. James. I'll call Jason. Jason's my buddy. You know what I mean? So now we're building a relationship, a true honesty, authentic relationship. People do business with the people they know, like, and trust. All right. And then we go into the home. You know, this is their space. They're inviting you into your space. Respect that. Respect their space. You know, you're in their space. We're going to go to the thermostat. And then after we go to the thermostat, we're going to get a little bit of understanding about the home, understanding about all the details that we need. Then we're moving on down to the basement. And why is this so important, Sam? It's real simple, man. This system is the literally the who you are, the explanation of you as a technician in the company. These checklists that we create. So now we're entering into the world of the checklist. The first check was done. Checked thermostat, checked operation, made sure the thing come on, made sure everything's working the way it's supposed to. Now we're going downstairs. This checklist is designed that we have in our company to for everything to be documented. Like I said before, if you go to the doctor and, you know, you're going through your blood work, you're going through your vitals, you're going through all this information. What if you spent all this thousands of dollars getting x-rays and stuff like that? You literally watched the doctor, wanted them throw in the trash, right?
Oh, that's awful. Yeah.
It's awful because you got to do it all again. But this way, the doctor is able to meter you. He's able to meter your vitals, meter your blood work, meter, you know, all these things that you just had done. It's important to them. It's important to us. And after they get done with that, then we go into the safety of the system. So at this point in time, this is where you cross over. All right. You got the salesman that walks through the door and he's going for the jugular because sales is something you do to somebody, not something you do for somebody. All right. So that guy is narcissistic. You don't give a crap about you. The homeowner's already on to you. You're sleazy. You know, you're trying to just sell crap. Okay. Then you got the technician, kind of the same way. He cares about one thing, and that's fixing it. Right. Okay. This guy is terrified of being labeled a salesman. Then you got the professional. Now, the professional is a whole different ballgame. The professional's educated. He has a system of running the call. He starts the call, goes through the checklist, then he gets to the safety, and he discovers this crack in the heat exchanger. Okay? Well, he knows the pulse of the furnace.
Yeah.
He knew in the beginning, before even getting this far, that the inducer motor had a problem or that it was weak, you know, that the igniter was past its life expectancy of 4 years, that he knew that the blower motor was dragging. He knew all these details of the furnace, and now we have the full picture. Now the physician puts on the lab coat, you know, now you have a professional, you don't have a salesman, you don't have a technician, and now he's able to give them all the information.
I love
that. And at that point in time, I think that's where you cross the threshold. So when you're talking about a difference between a salesman, technician, and professional, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody that sees the whole picture, you know, and we're going to dig even a little further in that. Is it the right size? Is the furnace the correct size? One of the things that we do in our company, it's a little different than everybody else, is our technicians can do a reverse load calculation to make sure that the thing is sized correctly. They can do a reverse load calculation to make sure that the AC is sized correctly. So we care about the whole picture, not just the one picture. That's what makes us professional. That's what makes us, you know, highly ranked on Forbes. That's what makes us one of the best out there. That's what makes us one of the fastest growing. And here's what's crazier than that. it's retention here and passing here and homeowners gathering and clients that we gather here is not a numbers game. It's a people game. Jason will tell you, I cannot believe when he came to work here, how many people know you personally. I said, that's my job. That's my job.
Yeah.
So the vast majority, over 15,000 customers, probably more than that at this point in time. I was saying that 3 years ago. 15,000 customers.
More than that 3 years later.
The vast majority know us personally, and they matter. They absolutely matter. And their system matters, and how we take care of it matters.
You know, I am, you know, this is the talking for a few minutes before we turned on to record. And then in this conversation is the first time, you know, Bill, you and I have met, but knowing Jason for as long as I have, in no way am I surprised to hear that the main theme of what you're saying is people and relationships, because that's exactly how, you know, I know he's always functioned. And so obviously like attracts like. Which is a beautiful thing. So for everybody listening, pay attention. You know, what was the main theme here? It was not the details. It wasn't the steps. Yes, those are important, but also what overlays that is the relationship. You know, and not being the, you know, the sleazy guy that just, you know, going back to giving the compliment and all that. Don't do it for the sake of manipulation. Do it for the sake of authentic interaction, because there absolutely. Is a big difference. I heard actually my friend, absolutely, Jason, my friend Doug Wyatt, when I was in Boston, he spoke at my event and he said something that really it like just stuck in my head. It lives in my brain all the time now. The difference in manipulation and influence is intent. What is the intention behind it?
Amen.
So important to have the right intention. So yeah, Jason.
I was just listening. I wanted to tell you about, you know, a thing that Bill may not know, but I sent him the episode that we did when I was applying to work here. We actually had a different interview 6 months or so before I even came on board. It was for a different position, but we decided to go a different route. But either way, on the second time around, I sent him a copy of our IAQ podcast, and his wife was telling me like a week or so after I started working there, she was like, yeah, Bill was listening to it, looking over at me going, I want to hire this guy. So, you know, I actually used the podcast to show him what I'm about, you know, the fact that, you know, I don't get paid to do this. I do this for my own personal growth, just to, you know, learn how to speak better, learn how to relate to a customer better. I mean, it's just really just a culture on its own to be part of something with the right intent, kind of bringing it back to what you said, the intent of who you are, what are you doing, not just in your place of work, but with your life and just the whole thing, you know?
I love this. This is so beautiful. Well, let's turn the corner a little bit. Let's dive into some specifics, because we're making this the heat exchanger episode. I would absolutely love to hear what that process like really truly looks like. What are we looking for? You know, there's a lot of people that are listening that, you know, have been through plenty of heat exchanger training, but I would be willing to wager, I would drop a $100 bill right here on my desk while we're talking, that a good half to three quarters of the people listening have never been through a training like that. They truly don't know what they're looking for or how to have this conversation. So take us through that. In fact, I'm going to just, because you're both on, I'm going to step back and let you guys go through this. And so this is cool. So everybody listening, let's do this through, I want you to view this and listen through a couple different lenses.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, 100%.
There's two different actually angles from this, but both we still agree and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Jason talked about that before, but yeah, we'll explain that too.
Yeah. 100%. So as the observer listening or watching this episode, everybody view it one through the lens of listening to the actual process. So the steps and the technical items, but also view it through the lens of, you know, what your, well, three lenses here. The second is if you're owner, manager, or have aspirations to have your own company or train people, view it through the lens of how Bill and Jason are going to go through this from, you know, how to train this into your team. And then the third lens I want you to listen through is through the lens, which is probably the most important one, the lens of the homeowner. If you're the homeowner, how are you experiencing this conversation while the technician is in your home? Because that is, in every single time we step in the house, if we don't put ourselves in the homeowner's shoes, then what happens? We end up just only trying to drive our agenda, which is does not always match what the homeowner's wanting to accomplish. So all of this is important, and we have to, every single time we do something like this, it's important to listen through all three of those different lenses. Which means you may have to listen to this two or three times with the different viewpoints, but that's okay. It's not a race. It's a journey. So I'm going to pass it over to you guys. I'd love to have y'all go through this the way that you do in your training and then also in the house.
I think a good idea, and this is, you tell me what you guys think, but I think a good role play, I'll be one bad technician role playing it the wrong way, and Bill can be the angry homeowner, and then I can go into it again as the fix-it guy that, you know, doesn't really want to do anything else, and then I can come at it as a professional. So we'll try to keep it short and sweet, like everything else is done up to the point where we're about to deliver the information. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, trying to be efficient on time, as I think that would be, let's fast forward to that moment and those three different guys, and either Bill, you can be the tech, or I can be the homeowner, or vice versa, however you want to do it. But what do you guys think? Does that sound
awesome to me?
Now let's go for it. And I will actually try to be reflecting on homeowners that I've ran into. So
okay. We've got a laundry list. Throw those people together, and this could be pretty rough. Let's see. I love it. This is great.
All right. Hello.
Okay. So we're fast forwarding to that step, so you can skip the door knock.
Okay.
Skip the door knock and intro. We're already there.
Hey, Mr. Rep. You know, once again, thanks for having us in your home. But, you know, I found some bad stuff here on the furnace. And it looks like you got a cracked heat exchanger. You know, most of my customers just go right into replacing it rather than repairing it. So I just want to let you know we're condemning your furnace today.
Oh, no. Where'd he go?
Totally joking.
Yeah.
That, I just left. So
he walks
get
away.
Out of my house. You know what I mean? You're trying to get me. I'm already there. You know what I mean? All right. No, I'm just joking. The reality of it is real simple. Let me start from what a customer does say. Well, holy cow, Jason, you're condemning my furnace. First of all, are you legally allowed to condemn my furnace?
Sir, I'm a highly trained technician. I'm telling you, your furnace is bad.
Okay. So what does this mean, Jason? What does this mean? I mean, it's 30 degrees outside.
It means your life's in danger and you could possibly die from carbon monoxide poisoning. So this is pretty serious.
That sounds pretty serious.
I want you to make a decision on how what you want me to do.
I'm waiting for you to tell me what I should do. What are my options? Like,
well, basically, we really just need to replace the furnace.
Okay, so this, you know, I'm guessing this is a pretty big purchase. You know what I mean? I'm guessing that this is not something that I don't want to take lightly. Obviously, Jason, something so big as this, I'm going to have a second opinion. There's no way I could just take your word for it. I mean, I've seen nothing. I've showed nothing. I did see Dateline. So I did see that. Okay. And I got to make sure this ain't that. Does that make sense?
I mean, I get it, but it's, you know, we're a reputable company. I'm just here to tell you, it definitely needs to be replaced. And most people just do the air conditioner too while they're at it.
Is that right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They it has to be done that way.
All right. I'll tell you what we should do then. What's the next step? So are you going to give me a price on one? How fast can you do this? You know, it's a lot of empty questions here.
I would just call the office and get you on scheduled, and they'll give you an invoice when they're all done.
For the furnace? For putting the furnace?
Well, in okay. The
well, okay. Let's do this. I need to talk to my wife about this. This is a pretty big decision. You know, you just told me that, you know, I was going to kill my family, and, you know, I got this furnace bad, and I need an air conditioner, and, man, I'm overload right now. Okay, so let's do this. Go ahead and write your invoice up. I'll pay the diagnostic fee, no problem whatsoever, and then we'll go from there. How about that?
Well, I mean, we'll do whatever you want to do, but, you know, I always worry about how you're going to protect your family with the carbon monoxide leak. I mean, this is to be taken seriously, and I can get a new system in here tomorrow.
Well, I have a carbon monoxide detector, you know.
Well, sir, you know, it's just, I'm just trying to make something happen here. So, you know, it's your safety you're throwing under the bus, so I don't know what to do for you.
Well, no, I agree with you. I think it's important, but also, you know, I don't really know you that well. And I think this is something that I need to kind of get some information about. I just can't take this lightly. So I don't know what furnace you're putting in. Yeah. It goes on that. At that point in time, I have no confidence in you. I don't trust you. You just hit me over the head. Right. You know, I'm being a calm customer. I could swing back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, it blows my mind how many times that technicians actually go through the process. Like, wild.
I've seen it.
For everybody listening, if this is one of those moments for everybody listening, if the shoe fits, wear it. We're not being specific in pointing you out, but if it feels like it, self-evaluate. So 100% everything we just went, and I'm surprised you didn't get a lot more angry than you did, Bill. That shows, you know, obviously your character. But whoa, I mean, I've been in situations and step into homes that my technicians in the past have been going through things like that, and I have to literally defuse the bomb of the homeowner at that point, because they're, I mean, raise your hand for everybody listening, and I'm sure y'all have had these experiences. The homeowner's like red-faced, screaming, angry, mad at you partially at the situation, yes, but then because it was presented so poorly, it was just like, oh, you're trying to take advantage of me.
Yeah, for sure.
At that point, you don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
And you're definitely getting a second opinion. You're definitely, that's without a doubt. So, you know, how to erase those second opinions, how to qualify what you did, that's really what it's about. It's creating the relationship, creating the trust. And so there's no trust there. There's no relationship. I got this guy going for my jugular, you know what I mean? And now he's telling me I got to replace my air conditioner too.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it went from just furnace to air conditioner in a moment's notice. And then, yeah, we'll just get it put in, and then the office will send you an invoice after we're done.
Does that work? I mean, has anybody ever had any success doing that? You think about guys are doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm shocked if they say yes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep, no doubt.
Well, so that invoice the later thing was just my little extra cherry on top to make it.
No, you're right, though, because people actually, there's literally technicians that do that all across the country. Probably not if they're listening to this show because they're already into personal growth. But everybody, we all know companies that do that, that treat it just like that, and it's awful. So let's go into the fix-it guy. Y'all want to keep the same roles, or you want to swap roles?
All right. Hey, Mr. Ratliff, how are we doing today?
I'm doing okay.
Well, thanks for inviting us to your home again. So I just wanted to go over everything that I found. The blower motor is running really well. Doesn't really need anything today. Your igniter is lighting up. It seems to be an older one, but it's still doing its job. It looks like the ductwork is a little dusty, but not too bad. Overall, everything looks okay. There is one minor detail on the furnace. There's a little hairline crack on the heat exchanger. We're supposed to call those bad when we see that. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of look into what kind of cost that's going to be for you. And, I'm sure it's not going to be a whole lot of money. And we can more than likely get this thing fixed if the heat exchanger is available. And, you know, you're not going to have any more worries once I get that fixed up for you, because everything else on this 18-year-old furnace seems to be okay. I can't really find anything broken today. So, you know, if you want to make that investment, we can look into ordering that part for you and we'll get it fixed up like it was new. What do you think?
I think you said it's not a big deal. In my head, if it's not a big deal, I'm not really worried about it. I mean, I got carbon monoxide detectors upstairs, and you said that the furnace is still running, technically. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably been like that for years anyway, but, you know, it's just my job to point it out and make sure that you're aware of it. But, you know, I just want to make sure that we get it fixed, and that's my main goal, is to keep this thing running as best as I can, as long as I can.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I'm good, Jason. It's worked last year, worked year before. I think I'll probably just let it work another year, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, that's no problem. Whatever you want to do. You know, that'll be $79 for today. So is there anything else I can do to anything else I can fix for you while I'm here?
No, you're good. I'm good.
Ooh, let's time that one out.
Now, the simple way that the conversation was, the assumption would be that, you know, maybe this person don't have the money. That's what the technician would be thinking. No, what it was not a clear assumption of what was going on. In addition to, I don't really know what I need to do. You know what I mean? So in my head, I'm going to revert back to work last year.
Yep.
You know, there's no more information than that. I'm not prepared to.
I better hit pause.
So it's real simple. I just didn't have enough to go off of. So it wasn't that people, technicians would say that was they're not interested. No, I could have been very interested. I just was not interested in what you were saying. You know, what you were saying was not enough information. So yeah, I'd say that that's the difference between the fix it and a professional. Is the professional is going to give outcomes. The fix it's going to fix it now. You know, this is the fix. I think the real true story is to figure out what is important, what is not important. I mean, when it comes to heat exchangers, nobody can make that call. A real quick story. We just installed a new furnace. All right. And I'm going to tell you what brand it was or anything like that. And,
yeah, it's irrelevant. One of our same issues.
You got it. One of our installers was simply just mounted on top of that at plenum. Right, putting them into the collector box, but you couldn't see it. Like, you really could not see it. It was an easy mistake to make, very simple mistake to make. This was the size of a needle of a pin. All right, so basically what happened, Sam, is we had an installer that went out to a house, and the guy's been doing it a long time, mounted a plenum on the top of a furnace. A lot of those guys, instead of mounting them to the top of those flanges, they'll just bend them down and screw it to it. But when he did that on this particular brand, was a newer style at the time, he literally shot a screw through the top of the heat exchanger where the burner box was. And you couldn't see it, but he had done it.
Yeah,
man, you're talking the size of a pinhead. You're talking minute, less than an eighth of an inch, right? That night I get a call from the fire department. Hey, Bill, you know, you have carbon monoxide levels off the chain. They're just insane. We was able to trace that carbon monoxide back to that pinhole.
Wow.
250 parts per million on the size of a head of a pin. So its location of the crack obviously is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Truth be known, I had a close friend of mine that her whole family ended up in a hospital, not from this situation, from an older furnace that had a crack. What I'm trying to say is this. Who are you, or who is anybody, to say what is safe and what is not safe? Heat exchangers produce carbon monoxide with a pinhole. When you're not there on the coldest day of the year, and those heat exchangers are like a paperclip, and they're expanding and contracting, expanding and contracting, expanding and contracting, they're dangerous at that point in time. They have cracks. You can't say, oh, that's a big issue in our industry. Is there's been many technicians just like, oh, that's no big deal. That's a hairline crack or whatever the case is. Let me tell you, if it has a crack, the manufacturer is saying that heat exchanger is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go around saying it's not an issue. Your job is not to scare people to death. But your job is to say at this point in time, this is where carbon monoxide comes from. This is a problem and the part has failed. At that point in time, that is the indication that the part has failed.
Yeah.
Now it's what to do with that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, anytime there's a like carbon monoxide, heat exchanger, this is the main one. You know, there's other things that can, you know, happen in our systems, but this is the main one. If there's a level of concern, there is a level of concern, and we need to express that. You know, not telling people, yes, this is going to kill your family. No, we, you know, that's horrible. But also, they do also need to understand that left unchecked, that is a potential. So it's how we handle the conversation, I think, that makes the biggest difference in this, in that type of a scenario.
100%. Absolutely.
So, all right.
Then that adds.
Well, yeah, let's do this again and take it through in a much better process and a much better way to handle this as a professional, and showing the level of concern we need to without using scare tactics, but also, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
First, by saying, I'm so glad we got to redo this because we did it once before and Sam had some technical trouble and we couldn't get that episode posted. And we've been saying for the last year and a half, we were going to redo the episode. So I feel like happened. I waited this a whole year to do this. But
well, this better be dang better, a lot better than the last one because you've had a year to practice.
I know, right? So, Bill, are you ready?
I'm ready when you are.
All right. Well, hey, Mr. Rat, or hey, Bill, you know, thanks for having the right way out here. You know, I just got to tell you, we look forward to seeing you guys every time we come here. I'm glad that we've been able to do service for you for so long. But the real thing that I want to talk to you about today is we're going over your 15-year-old system. And, you know, there's some pros and cons, right? For the most part, it, you know, furnaces and air conditioners typically last somewhere between, 12, 15 years. Some people get up to 20. But just like cars, everything has a certain thing that kind of goes bad after a certain amount of time. And that's what I'm finding today. Everything was looking okay until I got to checking out your heat exchanger. You know, the manufacturer states that if there's any breach of the air that we breathe versus the air that the furnace uses for combustion, any kind of breach at all, the manufacturer would deem it a failed part. So moving forward, We really need to have a conversation about this. So are you familiar with the part that I'm talking about? Is any of this making sense at this point?
Jason, I'm not a heating or cooling guy. Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so what I'd like to do is just kind of use a couple of analogies. Have you ever heard of a car in a garage running? You shouldn't have the garage door down because you could, you know, get hurt from carbon monoxide.
Oh yeah. Yep. I've watched The Good Son. I watched that movie.
Okay. Well, so you know that it's from burning gasoline is why that happens, right?
Okay.
Okay. So essentially natural gas is just another fuel that's actually burning inside of the furnace. So it's a hot environment. It's very toxic gases that are inside of that heat exchanger, and the furnace has an exhaust fan on it that blows all of that outside instead of inside of the home. And so I have a carbon monoxide detector here. I'm not seeing any parts per million in your house today. However, I had a camera inside of your furnace and I found a micro crack, which is just a little tiny crack. However, in my world, it has to be taken very seriously. And what I'm trying to say is that the manufacturer states that if there's any flaws on this part, it is considered a bad part and it needs to be replaced. So I'm here to just kind of share that information with you. I was trying to use some analogies there to help you understand why it's taken seriously. No, I don't think anybody is suffering today, but in the coldest month of the year, when this thing is working the hardest, that crack could potentially open up, and this situation can go from bad to worse later on when I'm not here or when you're working your furnace the hardest. So my biggest fear right now is your safety. I'm not here to dial in on any kind of level of trying to scare you in any way. I just want you to understand that the manufacturer deems this a part that needs to be repaired, and or the furnace would typically need replaced, but that's going to be up to you. My job is to deliver this in such a way to help you understand why I'm saying the things that I'm saying. And then obviously I'm going to offer you a repair option. And then if you do decide that you do not want to repair that, we can look into other options, but it's going to be entirely up to you. My job is just to explain it as professionally as I can. So my next question is there anything that's not making sense about what I'm saying right now?
No, I think I understand. So basically, it's not venting out of my house. It's venting into my house. Is that what you're saying?
It can.
Okay. It can. So currently it's not, but it's potential danger of doing that. And correct. You're saying when it works most often, that's when I normally have, you know, that's when this could be an issue.
Correct. Okay.
Now, I do have carbon monoxide detectors in my home. They're not going off. Oh, you know, I mean, doesn't that work? Is that good enough?
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually the next thing I was going to talk about. Most carbon monoxide detectors go off around 200 to 400 parts per million. So have you ever been familiar with how they measure air in parts per million? Imagine I have a square foot of air in my arms and I chop it up into a million pieces. So 400 pieces of that would be considered a lethal amount of carbon monoxide. So what my point is, the carbon monoxide detectors you have in the house may not go off at 10, 20, 30, 40 parts per million, or even some of them at 100 parts per million. Here's what my point I'm trying to make. No, it's not going to set off your detectors, but having a large amount of carbon monoxide in one day is very bad. But having a small amount of carbon monoxide spread over the entire course of the winter can be just as bad, if not worse. So
okay,
if you notice you're getting headaches, nausea, any kind of health concerns, I'm not a doctor. I can't do a blood work on you and tell you that you have a high carbon monoxide count in your blood. But I can tell you, in my world, if there's a crack on that heat exchanger, the manufacturer tells me it's no longer safe to operate. So it's not my job to put in any kind of opinions here. It's my job to deliver the facts to you, and you decide how you want me to proceed. Right now, I do not recommend running this furnace, and I don't feel that it's safe to operate.
Okay. Well, I think if that's the case, let's get that part and let's get it installed.
Well, and that's exactly what I can do for you. However, I would like to provide you with all of your options. So knowing that going into this, the first thing I'm going to do is the office is going to try to track down and locate, one, is the part still available? And then two, how soon and what does the availability look like? So they're going to look into that for you, and then we'll get you a price to repair it. However, meanwhile, back at the ranch, before we make a decision, because of the cost of most heat exchangers can be somewhere between a $3,000 to $5,000 range, I would rather you get a quote from one of our area managers who could also give you an option B, which would look into what it would cost to replace it. And we have a lot of different financing opportunities for stuff like that. So we have things to fit every budget. If you want to finance the repair, that's great. We can make that happen. If you want to finance a new system, that's great. We can make that happen. the biggest thing that I want you to look at is repairing it is a large cost and replacing it is a large cost. So there's obviously a commitment of, that needs to be made on top of that decision. So my only advice is let's just walk through this process. Let's get you all your options. Let's see what works for you. You know, we need to know how long you're staying here at this home. And then, you know, the other options are, is just replacing the furnace is, you know, can be an option, but there's also options to upgrade efficiencies too. So those are some of the other questions or opportunities I would like to present. So that way you have a spectrum of choices to make, and it's not just broke or fix or repair or replace. We can look into the pros and cons of all the decisions together, and I think that way I'll give you all the opportunities to decide what's best for you and your family. Does that work for you?
Yeah, I think it'd probably be a good idea to get all the information, and you know, so that way I can talk to my wife and see if we can't get a better understanding of what to do, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let me ask you this. When would be a good time to catch you and your wife together where we could schedule a return visit and sit down with you guys? And at that point, we'll probably have your cost for the repair as well. And then we can go through all the other options as well.
I think at that point in time, that's where the homeowner would, you know, go ahead and say this is time and available, and we'll go ahead and play it out. You know what I mean? And that's where it would go there.
100%. Yeah, they're either going to say, oh, here's the time, or they're possibly going to say, well, you know, let's just go ahead and book it and I'll fill them in.
Right.
So of course, that's a whole nother conversation, which, you know, is navigating, you know, that single leg versus double leg journey. But that was excellent, guys. Thank you for that. Let's unpack it a little bit now, because a lot happened in that process. And I'd love you to walk us through, because for everybody listening, did you notice how I like to think about it almost like playing poker. It's almost like slow playing a hand. You weren't overly excited because, oh, it's broken. Now we need to do some bigger, you know, money. And we didn't downplay it as well. It's not that big a deal, but it was that great balance in between that you were navigating through and led Bill into being open to looking at options to make sure he makes the right educated decision. So unpack that a little bit for us, both of you, from both of your perspectives, what that journey both it sounded like, but also from the homeowner's perspective, what did it feel like? Because that's a piece that most people miss, but the emotional driver behind this type of a decision and this type of conversation is truly what leads people in the direction that they want to go. We're asking them to make fast decisions, and so much of that is built on the emotion behind it.
Yeah, I'm just kind of flying off the seat of my pants trying to play a professional tech. Obviously, when you're with the customer, there's a lot of other factors. You know, the engineer customer who's an engineer, he likes you to go down the technical path and give him lots of information. To the housewife or the grandma, or, you know, maybe some of your not so mechanical guys, they don't want to hear all the technical. They want to hear it a different way. So it was really challenging for me to role play that professional with just Phil, because if we would have had me do that with another person, it would have sounded different. If you had me do it with the 85-year-old grandma, it would have sounded a little different. So I'm really trying to make it generic when I was talking to Bill, but some of the key points I was trying to focus on was I asked him if he understood. I asked him if he wanted to do, you know, get more opportunities of information. I was asking permission steps along the way. I don't feel like I did a really great job because I just kind of winged it today, and we were having so many technical steps to go through to get here. I was just really just kind of almost would like to redo that again with a different scenario just so I could get a few out there. But I don't know. What do you think, Bill? Did I do that okay for a generic pitch?
I try to handle that as if I was handling it in real life. And that's the way I am. Now, I am a little different. Like, when it comes to me personally, how I handle things or how being sold to, does that make sense? Right. I like to gather information. I like to have all the information. I like to know what's happening. So that process would work for me because I do want to talk to my wife, you know, in real life, you know, in business, my wife is my partner. So I do want to talk to my wife. So when you would say, I want your wife there, no, I definitely would want her there because we make these larger, bigger decisions together. I think that you probably presented it probably the best way that you could have presented to somebody like me, because I'm going to research it. I want the guy to come to my house. I want to hear what he's got to say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it works for me and it works for them, you know, maybe it'll work, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of factors that come into it. You know, the temperature outside, how cold was it? Am I trying to move now? I don't want to be without heat. I don't want to deal with 10 other contractors out there to get somebody that I like. You've already built relationship with me from the door all the way to the furnace. You know, that would be the one thing. So I think that the approach was not bad at all. I think for me it'll work, you know. Maybe if we flipped it, I get an opportunity to approach it the way that I approach it.
Actually, let's give people
a different view of what that would look like. Does that make sense?
Let's do that. In fact, this is cool because let's take a, if you're open to it, Jason, we'll do a super quick, are you open to a couple quick coaching tips from what just happened there? And then we'll flip it. And then Bill, you'll be the technician and go through this process. That way everybody gets to hear two completely different versions of this along the way. So the first thing that I would say, Jason, is this is really, really important, especially for everybody listening. Okay, and of course, there's some element of being on the podcast. There's clearly a little bit of nervousness. But as you were getting into it, there was several moments that you used kind of, sort of, what I think I'd like to do. So words of especially when there's a really important topic, like something that could be potentially hazardous to health, there's no place for words of uncertainty because I lose confidence in you as the technician if you're using these phrases of, oh, I think kind of those types of things.
So I heard it as soon as I said it. And I was like, I got to keep going because we're trying to do a podcast here. Yeah. But, you know, I'm more natural in my environment when I'm actually with the customer. You did a podcast a while back about wordplay. You know, you have certain words that you use with certain customers and how you approach a concept or an idea. You know, just like I was saying a minute ago, you can tell an engineer all kinds of things and they can keep up with you. And other people, not so much. And you just kind of got to use simple concepts and words to get your point across. And I'm sitting here with a group of highly professional verbal coaches and assassins here. So
no, it's all good. So not, yeah, in no way to make you feel bad about it, but it's more of, and I'm glad that you actually did that in this role play, intentional or unintentional. It's excellent to bring the point to the forefront of everyone's mind so they remember that, because to hear it in a live fire situation like this is a great reminder for everybody. The more serious the topic, the more serious we have to be about the language we use to express the level of urgency. So if we get into the driftiness of kind of, well, now it doesn't seem as urgent or as serious of a concern. And also on the flip side of that, it doesn't seem like you may or may not know exactly your confidence in the solution strictly based on the language. The one thing I'd want to say you did awesome was the analogy about, you know, have you ever heard not to sit in the car in a garage with the door closed? That's effectively what we're doing in your home every time this furnace operates, if it has any level of crack in it. The other thing that was great was always referring back several times to the manufacturer specification says, if there's any blemish or imperfection or any crack in this piece of equipment, in the heat exchanger itself, it is now inoperable. It should be rendered inoperable because of the health and safety risk. So a cool line that you could add right at the end of that, a little word track, especially for everybody listening, is, so listen, I'm a skilled trained technician, but this isn't even me saying it. This is the manufacturer specifications. When they created this thing, that's what they designed. I'm happy to open up the furnace manual and show you where it says inside the manual, because this is how serious we Absolutely. Need to take this conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect to that nice little thing. And then, of course, through the process, the other thing I would say, what we could do, there's always an opportunity for a story. So insert said story. Example, we had an installer who, and then retell Bill's story, you know, from the installer, the little pinhole, but it turned out to be horrible. So my greatest fear is I don't want that to happen here. So the story makes it real. And so every time we can insert a story in a conversation like this, it makes it very real in that moment. So
I found just speaking the truth to a customer and just coming right out. And you know, after you've done your presentation and you're down at the end, you're talking about it. I just came right out and tell the customers, you know, I'm just trying to be transparent to you, mm-hmm. trying to be, you know, whatever it is, I'm trying to get those facts to you mm-hmm. so you can make a decision. I'm 100%. Not.
Yeah, the authenticity is absolutely real. So let's flip the roles here. Bill, I'd love for you to take us through this process. Jason, be our homeowner, and I'm going to be a fly on the wall again for this one.
So we're going to go all through all three scenarios, or do you want to just go to the last scenario?
Let's just do the last one. We'll do the professional example of what it all should sound like.
All right, you're going to be a fly on the wall of the Bills world. It's kind of funny. No, it's just you'll see.
The farmer that doesn't know anything about this, I'm just relying on you.
All right, so you're going to be the homeowner, right, Jason? Yes. Cool deal. All right. Hey, Jason, you got a second?
Well, sure.
All right, great, man. Just got done going through your system here, and, you know, we're following this checklist. Just a couple things I want to bring to your attention. Looking at the date of the furnace, we're probably looking right around 16 years old. All right. Some parts have definitely seen their better days, you know, but this has been a good furnace. Anything that's ran over 16 years, man, that's a pretty good operating furnace. So I got to give kudos to the furnace for being here this long. I will tell you, though, like I said, your induction motor is definitely about 6 years past what it should have been. I mean, it's still the original. You looks like you replaced your igniter a couple times over the last few years. So that's normal. Igniters last about 4 years. And man, these manufacturers, it's mass production, but don't think for a second they don't know how long these things last. You know what I'm saying? So with that said, Jason, you know, we got some wear and tear going on here. I mean, it's a little older furnace. You know, blower motor was replaced probably right around 10 years ago. And what's going on? You got a little weight on the wheels. Got a little dirt on the wheels there. Evaporator coil definitely got a little bit of organic growth. It's got some, you know, some dirt on it, you know. Don't look like there's a cat in there, so everything's still running pretty good, you know, but it does look like it's a little dusty. You know what I'm saying? So what I did notice on the last thing that we checked is that we always do with every single homeowner is we go over safety, okay? And Jason, I got a real important question to ask you. How long you and your wife planning on living in the home? Like, how long you plan on staying here?
You know, the kids are out of school and it's just an empty nest for me and my wife. We've been thinking about maybe downsizing in the next 5 to 10 years. We just haven't really put too much thought into it, but yeah, we're not going to, you know, spend the rest of our life here.
Right on. Well, congratulations, first of all, you know, getting to spend time at the home and getting to, you know, downsize. It's actually kind of an exciting time. I'm trying to get there myself someday. With that said, then this weighs different options. You do have a crack that's in your heat exchanger, okay? And what does that mean? It means that your heat exchanger is definitely seen its better days. We can replace blower motors. We can replace inducer motors. We can replace igniters. We can replace other parts. But when it comes to the heat exchanger, that's the piece that everything rests on. That's the heart of the system. That's the most important component in the system. All right. Can we replace that? We potentially can. Jason, I'm going to be honest with you. I would just hate to see you spend
excessive amount of money on this furnace. All right. Well, let me explain. We're going to be, you know, 3,000 plus to put into the heat exchanger. And we can do that. We can absolutely do that. We can get our parts guy on it. It's a little difficult to find. It's over the life. The shelf life is like 10 years. So it's definitely going to have to be ordered in. We'll get that heat exchanger out there, no problem whatsoever, and get you installed. I'm going to let you know, though, with that said, we have other components to the furnace that are also seeing its better days. I noticed that it's also original control board. Life expectancy is 10 years. Original induction motor. Life expectancy is 10 years. Kind of get where I'm going with this. We don't want to throw a bunch of money at an old system that is just going to nickel and dime you to death. You know, have you ever replaced an alternator in a car?
Yeah.
Right after you replace the battery?
Yeah.
right after you replace the water pump, you know, right after you replace the rotors, right after you replace the, you know, and that it's mechanical. That's the world that we live in. So here's where you're at. 16-year-old furnace, life expectancy at the best, you took like phenomenal care of this thing. It's like 20 years. I mean, if you really, really did a good job there. Transparently, in the world I've been doing this for 30 years, I can tell you right now that most of them don't make it past 15 years. If you get 15 years out of a furnace, man, that's called, we want to have a burial, call in the family. Let's drag this baby out to the graveyard. Let's sing some songs. You know what I mean? So you're there. You're right there right now. I'm just going to also tell you, Jason, that it's extremely important that to understand the investment here. Okay. This is the largest appliance in your home. This appliance is the biggest, baddest. This is the one thing, you know, that competes with roofing when it talk about expense or cost, right? So the last thing you want is to throw a bunch of money at a system that the inspector is going to come into your house, that's going to be looking to sell your home. That inspector is going to say, hey, your furnace is now 20 years old. Because you said that you're leaving here in about 5 years, right?
Right.
That you're planning on moving here in about 5 years?
Well, you know, it can change, but yeah, 5 years would be a good estimate, so to speak.
Yeah. So the last thing that you'd want to do, Jason, is put a bunch of money into a furnace that the inspector's going to look at and say it's over 20 years old anyway, you know? So it's extremely important, I think, at this time that we go ahead and see what that price is going to be on those parts. We can do that. We do everything in real time, right? We're heating and cooling. And let me explain what that means. Man, before I even walk out your door, your parts to our warehouse guys, they're tracking that sucker down. They're going to get you the best price humanly possible. And that's a way to fix it. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, something that I think is extremely important, okay, is that we look at potential replacement of this system. Like I said, kind of you're going to sell the thing anyway. Homeowners don't walk into your house and say, how efficient is your heating and cooling? They ask one magic question. And that magic question is simple as this. Is it new or old? That's what they care about. So there's no real benefit financially, efficiency-wise, for us to go 96%, two-stage variable speed, let's go geothermal. There's no reason to do that because you're selling the home in about 5 years anyway. So it kind of would definitely make sense before sticking $3,000 into a furnace that you're going to have to turn back around and probably put $2,000 into an induction motor that don't exist anymore. You won't even be able to buy it. So with that said, it's extremely important that we make the best decision here. And one of the best decisions was probably, if it was in my shoes, is to consider replacement. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, it definitely sounds like we need to get all our options together. I like how you didn't tell me that I needed the most expensive, two-stage or modulating stuff. You just, you know, you're just giving me the facts. So I really appreciate that. Let's get all the information we can. And so that way me and my wife can make a decision.
Absolutely. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Is there any other questions that you have? Do you understand where I'm coming from? If I want to give an opportunity to kind of show you the picture of the heat exchanger and make sure that you fully understand what's going on. Well, you know what the heat exchanger is.
That was going to be, I didn't want to sound stupid, but I really don't know what a heat exchanger is, but I kind of guess I have a little bit of an idea based on what you were saying about the manufacturer. But I typically don't have an image in my mind what that is. Is that an expensive part or
Like I said before, that's where everything rests on that part. It is the most expensive part in the furnace. It's okay. when a manufacturer talks about the life expectancy, they're talking about the furnace. They're talking about this piece. So everything rests upon this piece.
Okay.
A heat exchanger, real simple, and then we'll go ahead and move on with this. The heat exchanger is real simple. Think about a basketball, right? You got a picture of a basketball in your mind? Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to take and put a metal pipe into that basketball.
Okay.
And we're going to pretend like that basketball is a round orb. It's just a round circle. It's just a basketball. You follow me? We're going to put a flame inside of that basketball. Okay. And that flame is going to heat up that basketball, right? And then your blower, your fan motor, blows air across that metal basketball into your house. Now, the pipe that sticks in top of that basketball, that's your exhaust, all right? That exhaust takes all the dangerous stuff, carbon monoxide, you know, oxygen, all that thing goes outside of your roof of your home. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What has happened is your metal basketball has a crack in it. So now instead of exhausting out that pipe, it's exhausting into your airwaves. When it goes into your airstream, that now your ductwork has just become the exhausting for your home.
So does that make sense? Basketball is what you're saying.
You got to get a new basketball. So we're going NBA, Wilson, you know, we're going to get a good one. All right. With that said, one of the other cool things with Rightway Heating and Cooling is just super cool. There's only 1 year parts warranty, only 1 year label warranty on any parts that are replaced because we didn't put this furnace in. But the reality of it is there's a 10-year parts and label warranty. So for the next 10 years, you won't have to worry about your furnace. Now, here's the cool thing. You sell the home, that's transferable. You can transfer that warranty over to the new homeowner. So not only that, you're giving them a brand new furnace with a 10-year parts and labor warranty that is 100% transferable. In addition to that, we're getting ahead of the inspector. He's not condemning the furnace. Does that make sense, Jason?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Excellent, Jason. Now, just a couple other things you need to know. That's very, very important to know. We have some of the best financing in the market. We have phenomenal financing. We got up to 15 months, same as cash. Nowadays, they're telling me it's even better than that. So with that said, who can answer those questions better for you is going to be our area manager. Is it okay if I get him on the phone?
Yeah, that's fine.
Excellent. We're going to go ahead and get this scheduled for you. Ideally, Jason, we'd like to have your wife here because I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to make any decisions without my wife because it's a great way to live on the couch. You know what I'm saying? So is it okay? When would be the best time for your wife to be here as well?
Well, I wear the pants here, but she wears the belt. So let me call her real quick and see what she has to say. I'll check what her schedule is. But yeah, we definitely need to have a sit down, go through all our options for sure.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and get our area manager out here, man. These guys are sharp. They understand the financing better than I do. These guys, my job is as a technician is to look at all the options as far as fixing or to help you make decisions on what avenue to go down. But it's their job at that point in time to kind of help you walk through the process of if you wanted to replace that system. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah, it sure does. I definitely like to say that, you know, you guys did a better job than the last company that was here last year. They just came in and pointed at the furnace and pointed at their list and said some things. And then I had more questions than answers by the time they left. So I appreciate you for being thorough and giving me a good analogy of what's going on here, because I don't want my family exposed to any carbon monoxide for sure.
Really? Jason, I have just one last question for you, man. Just one last question. You ready? Did you like the service today?
Yes, sir.
Do you feel like I did a good job?
Yes, sir.
Would you refer me to your friends?
Well, let's see how everything goes, but so far, yeah.
All right, got it. Then do me a favor. If you wouldn't care to go on Google, I'm going to send you over this QR code. Make sure you give me a 5-star rating. Let my boss know that I'm doing good out here. And oh, so I'm about to hit him up for a raise here shortly. Sure. So with that said, I'd like to have these Google ratings to help me.
I appreciate it. So I'll definitely put in a good word for you.
Excellent, Jason. Jason, if you have any more questions for me at all, is there anything that you're worried or concerned about?
No, I think we covered everything. I mean, are we looking into replacing the air conditioner too, or is that just something? I mean, have you guys even looked at that today? Or,
well, the one thing that we're really good about is I'm going to kind of let the area manager. I'm here for your furnace today, so I'm kind of let the area manager kind of look into that a little further, and he's going to let you know all the options concerning that as well. I'm going to go ahead and let you know straight up that your furnace and AC are the same age, okay? Now, with that said, the furnace life expectancy is, like I said, 15 to 20 years. Yours is right there. You're done. You know, it's here. It made it. It crossed the finish line, okay? Your AC, that, you need to go buy a lottery ticket, okay? The AC's life expectancy is 10 to 15. So you should have died a year ago. So at that point in time, it's still running. You know, it's limping along. But definitely talk to the area manager about that. He'll have more information concerning that. But it is due time for a system. So you're looking at a system.
My wife,
and it's there. You're right there.
So I don't know.
Right on. All right. Well, that's it, sir. We'll go ahead and get bundled up.
Excellent. Great job, guys. That was fantastic. I'm glad that way to go, Bill. I'm glad that we went all the way through that. So for everybody listening, there's so many nuggets in that process. Fantastic job. I absolutely love the journey. And this is so cool, especially for everybody listening. If you've listened to a lot of episodes, you know, there's some things different than what I typically train, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just a different perspective. It's a different process, and it's okay. So with that being said, man, there's so many things you did good there. The only thing I would push back on and give a suggestion about, and we plant the seed for everybody, is don't unsell anything at this step of the process, especially if somebody is going to be in the home for 5 years. The minute that you unsell something like, well, you're only going to be here 5 years. I don't know if we need to look at any of the, you know, the higher, more expensive equipment, et cetera, et cetera. First of all, we have no idea what their financial situation is like, which means we're making an assumption about something, because something I learned a long time ago is people will pay more for what they want than what they need.
So, absolutely. 100%.
So if we're setting this process up properly, then we're truly teeing it up for that area advisor, area manager, whatever you call them, project manager, comfort advisor, whatever it is you call them in your area. Let them come in. And so maybe a slightly better way to say it is, tell you what, they'll come in, they'll show you all of your options and let you make the best decision on what's going to be the best fit for you and your family. Because we're not going to make that decision for you. We're going to show you all that information so you can make a good decision. Because,
oh, absolutely.
You know, I say this from experience. Our technicians are, you know, I've absolutely sold and installed the very highest level system in homes that the people are only going to be in for another year. However, because of where they were in life, the price difference was irrelevant. They wanted the most comfortable experience while they were there. And so we don't need to prejudge that. Let them decide. But other than that, dude, everything else was golden.
Right.
That's the only
suggestion. I'll tell you what.
I would say that as a suggestion, not as a...
I like the suggestion.
Yeah, I do like the suggestion. I will tell you why we do it that way. We trained our area manager for the bump set spike method.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing volleyball, right?
Yeah.
The bump is, boom, bump it up. That's from the office. So the office has to bump the call, right? It has to get set. Okay, so I'm the technician. I set the ball up, okay? The area manager, he's the one that has to spike it.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in those situations is he will come back in there, and they're thinking, think about homeowners, they're thinking now, man, do I really want to be here gone in 5 years? You know, now that I know I have to replace it, I might be here longer.
Yeah.
So our tech, our area manager is trained from that perspective. He knows when he walks through that door to ask the challenging question, are you sure you're going to be here just 5 years? Because if you are, I don't want to see you leave money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bump set spike. So now he's beginning to wonder, oh, wow, I told Bill we're going to be here long. Maybe I should. And then he will automatically say, well, just in case, let's go ahead and talk about efficiency. And he will take him down that path.
Right.
And at that point in time, they normally land in the middle. 15 SEER, 96% two-stage variable speed. That's normally where the middle lands. So, yeah. No, but I do agree with that. I think you got to be careful in those situations. You got to fill it out. But, no, I agree with you. I think you don't want to unsell something. You know what I mean?
I love it. And the being devil's advocate to what I just said, you're right. I mean, if we give them a little bit of a takeaway of, listen, we're not here to sell you the most expensive thing, especially if that's the case. But, totally set it up like that. And we can even marry these two ideas, start it with that. Now, because you're only going to be here 5 years, maybe you don't need the most expensive. But I'll tell you what, when our area manager gets here, he'll go through all the options. That way you guys can 100%. Decide what's best for you. And so those two ideas get married and becomes 1 + 1 is now 11.
I think the biggest challenge that we're dealing with is the whole fact that we're role playing. And any seasoned technician will tell you that just like we wear different hats, we wear different personalities like a performer. So we have the person that we act like when we're talking to the blonde head girl that's looking at her phone and curling her eyebrows or eyelashes.
Be careful.
There's a different, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I mean, rock on girl, whatever you're doing, but she has a different earpiece than you and I do. And the same thing with the 85-year-old grandpa has a different earpiece and he hears things differently than the blonde head girl or something. And then there's the engineers and the people who don't care about their house, the people who are extremely caring about their house. There is so hard to get all of those characters that a technician has to play to sound appealing or interesting to these people. 100%. So when we do these role plays on here, it's such a challenge to just give you a generic spinoff of, this is what I say as a professional about your heat exchanger. This is what I say if I was a selling tech just with bad intent trying to sell you a new system because of your heat exchanger. And then there's the fix-it guy. Those are generic techs, but they are very popular topics that come up a lot in meetings about technicians. So I hope this helps you and anybody else listening, but to really know the vocabulary of your customer, it just takes years of field experience dealing with those different characters.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, I have these different boxes of different characters of people that I talk to. And just like unselling of the furnace, I've had customers that don't even really want to talk. They're just like, just go ahead and replace it. Get it done. And then you go, well, wait, we got to talk about what it is. I just want the best. Just get it changed out and get it done. Yes, sir.
Yep.
They don't ask about the price. They don't ask what it is. What do? Do you just go ahead and put in a $25,000 system and go, there you go, Mr. Customer? Or he done cut me off and told me to quit bugging him about it and just put it in. What do you do with that? That's another character I'd like to do an episode. Absolutely.
There's a major piece.
Part two.
There's a major piece that I think is extremely important too. Before you even get to that furnace, there's already a developing relationship. You know what I mean? You've already worked on that. You followed the system. You've got here. You're developing this relationship. So you kind of already have become friends, and the way that you become friends is real simple, man. Just lower your guard, be yourself. It's very important. We're in the business, we're in the people business, we're in that a lot more than we are the heating or cooling business. And if you could tap into being in the people business, by the time it comes back to introducing their problems, it's not this technician, it's Bill. You know what I mean? And right. I know about Jason. I've had people that's some friends for life that I've met as customers. You know what I mean? I've had guys offer you that drink, guys trying to give you a 20, don't take the drink, but they'll offer you the drink, tipping you 20, 50, $100 bills, I took guys, I had one cuss client that had a Lamborghini, and next thing I know, I'm taking it around a corner and he's asking me to drift it. And so, you know, you had those, my true story. I drove a McLaren, I've drove a SRT, you know, I've rode guys' Harleys. You build a relationship with these guys. You only get a short period of time to do that. So when you're coming back to them to explain to them that you need a new furnace, it's not this guy. It's my friend that's telling me where I'm at, you know? And I think that's that is so much more important than the actual closing. When you talk about close it now, that's more important. You're closing it now from the time you turn off your call.
I'm so glad, so happy you said that, because, you know, anytime. So a couple thoughts around this before we start to land this plane here is, you're absolutely right. Anytime anybody reaches I put a poll recently in my Facebook group of, you know, what topics do you want me to cover in some upcoming trainings? And of course, to be expected, far and away, the winner was handling objections. But what most people don't, so that's what always the request is. However, the piece that most people miss, especially if they don't know, is anytime somebody tells me that, hey, I'm having a trouble, I keep getting this objection, or I'm having trouble handling objections and closing, we always go back and start at the beginning and work on their process, because how the rest of the appointment goes determines if you get objections or not. As 100%. Exactly what you're saying. If you're the show up as the professional, you have a plan. We're not there to be their friend. We're there to be friendly. Just like you're saying, friendships develop out of our appointments. And I've got lifelong friends from that too. And it's so important to remember that in this process. And you're totally right, Jason. This is different when we're in a role play situation. But for everybody listening, the main theme here is listen. And, you know, there's definitely some mirroring and matching, and we're going to adjust your conversation according to who you're talking to. Your vocabulary changes. When I'm in the house with somebody, you know, we've all had these experiences. Maybe there's a home near a university and the homeowners are both PhDs. They speak at a different level. And so we need to be able to adjust accordingly. Somebody that is a completely different scenario in life, they're going to speak differently. You know,
100%.
A home with two homeowners that own a tattoo parlor, that's a whole different conversation. And there's there's not a good or bad here. It's we need to meet. I think that where my mind has been especially for the last 6 months, is if there's one thing I could have expressed to everyone to remember out of this, is meet people where they are. And when you meet people where they are and then show up in your authentic self and truly just 100%. Being there to serve and help, that's where the best service comes from. You know, where we you know, build trust, but trust is not the emotion. The emotion that comes out of trust is, I feel safe enough to make a decision without feeling the need to fact check, get other quotes, get three bids or whatever. They feel safe enough to make a buying decision without don't feel the need to fact check against you, because we've served at that level and we've built the relationship. So that's the whole theme of this. I love it.
There is a universal language. I don't know if you ever read the book, Freedom from Fear by Mark Madison.
No, but it will go on the list for sure.
All right. In this book, he talks about LPQP, listen, pause, question, paraphrase. Okay, I use this so often. In the book, he talks about dominating the listening. So you dominate, you start out, there's that uncomfortable silence where you going to say something and somebody else is going to say something. In the book, he tells you, don't do it. Don't say something. Wait, let it be uncomfortable. Don't try to fill the silence. And then what happens, the other person will start talking. And then after you listen, dominate the listen, you pause. That's the uncomfortable silence. And then you question. The question's about them. So when you listen, pause, question, the question becomes about them. And what you're saying is, I care more about you than I care about me. So then you got to listen to pause, question. And then you paraphrase back to them what was just said. You're repeating back to them. You're saying, I heard you. I'm listening to you. So a lot of people think that dominating the conversation or over talking is what actually makes people like you more. It's actually the opposite. It's listening. It's dominating the listening, listening more, question about their life, and then paraphrasing it back, and you have a friend forever. That's really it. So at that point, Tom, when you're building trust and you're trying to exceed a phenomenal customer service experience, that experience starts from listening right out the gate. When you start at that thermostat, that's where those relationships are built. That's where people decide whether or not they like you. Mm-hmm. When you get downstairs in the furnace and now you have something to say, what are they going to do? They're going to hear you. Mm-hmm. And when they hear you, the hearing is a whole other word than listening. They're going to hear what you're saying. And at that point in time, it really is the best interest for them.
Ah, this is so good. So good. I love this conversation. We could go on forever. This is a long one. Thanks, everybody, for hanging in with us. We'll, TBD, I'll decide if I need to, once I get the editing done, if we're going to split this into two parts or not. But man, I appreciate it. So love to give give you both a quick opportunity. Talk about the company. You know, for everybody, Columbus, Ohio, we've got, if you're anywhere near or maybe want to move, take a second, Bill, and talk about that.
We do some things that are rare. I'll talk about some things that are rare that's different. Here, I'm not afraid to make you a partner. So if you're a phenomenal technician, everybody's as scared of the great big license test that is tough. I mean, it's tough. It's a 10-hour continuing education. It doesn't define you as a technician. It doesn't define you as a person. It's just a tough test to take. So a lot of guys end up trying to do things under the table or do things crooked or do things because they're just terrified to take the test. Don't be terrified. If you're really good at your position and you're really good at your job and you really know what you're doing, that test does not reflect that. We all know that. You know, it's kind of bureaucracy in that aspect of it. We will partner with you. We have opened up a location in South, or right way heating and cooling South, which is 5 counties that I have just partnered with a technician. We're handling all the business stuff. My wife is a business management and accounting degree, or my son is a business management and accounting degree. Both of them handle that side of the field. Handle all the hard lifting, all the heavy lifting. We make it easy for the technician to be an owner, and they're transparent, not an owner. I'm not going to give a guy 10%. I'm not going to give a guy 20%. No, we're going to give you 50% of the company. So in that aspect of it. Now, you can't have mine because I built this one, okay? But I'm going to help you build yours, and I'm going to answer the service calls. We're going to answer the phone calls. You're going to have a website. You're going to have letter trucks. You're going to have everything that costs big money and it's hard to come by. Mm-hmm. And more so than that, we just started one individual who did $250,000 in his first year. All right. And he has over 400 five-star reviews, genuine reviews, and he's running at a 5-star. With that said, with our help, we took a guy from nowhere and he was ready for this. We kept him paid. He worked for us part-time, worked for himself part-time. And we help him get where he was going. And now he has a company that's valuable and worth equity. What does that mean? Man, I am full 100% up for what you're trying to achieve. I'm going to get behind you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to uplift you. Nobody else offers that. In addition to 401k and everything that goes along with everything, we have everything option, insurance, and you just name it. Whatever you're looking for, we're going to help you get there. Think outside of the box on a lot of things. But right way heating and cooling, we take a lot of pride in what we do, but I do feel that there is a lot of technicians out there that are holding back because they feel held back. Here, we're not going to put you in a box. We're going to let you run. Mm-hmm. Spread them wings. Do the thing. But that's also why we probably have nearly 2,000 five-star reviews. You know, that's why we have, and our reviews are not podium people. Our reviews are not the BS reviews. We're not buying reviews over here. They're genuine reviews. Mm-hmm. So, and a little bit about us. If you want to know a little bit about us, it's something we do.
Well, how do they get in contact with you? How do they reach out? So for everybody listening, what I just heard is, holy crap, this is an incredible opportunity. So if you are anywhere in Ohio or you have the motivation and the drive and you want to have a conversation with Bill and say, you know what, I might be the person you're looking for your areas, for your expansion, I have a dream and a vision. You have a dream and a vision. Let's just see if these marry up. How do they get in touch with you?
Rightwayhvac.com. It couldn't be more simpler than that. rightwayhvac.com. There's a lot of the heavy lifting that we do, a lot of research that goes into what we do. And man, we'd love to have you.
Love this. There's the conversation in the industry right now, of course, is do we grow and exit, sell to a private equity, all these types of conversations. I love this model. I've not heard an exact version of what you're doing exactly like this before. And I love it because it's almost the best of both worlds. It's getting the opportunity to grow with that startup, because we all know, like, we look at the Facebook groups, one of the biggest questions in there is, I'm a new guy starting and I don't have a client base and I don't have any money. How do we do things on the cheap to grow? But if you could do that, but also marry it with, you know, a bigger company backing you, that the vision lines up, and have the opportunity to have some seed capital to get that going, and then share in the growth. Man, that seems like a win-win. I don't see a downside to that. So I love it, man. This is cool. Love it. So right. So for everybody, the link will be in the show notes. That's RIGHTWAY.com, rightway.com. And
HVAC.
I did it again.
That's all right. So,
rightway, HVAC. RIGHTWAYHVAC.com. Make sure you get the HVAC in there. Maybe you should own, see if you could buy rightway.com just for the sake of anybody that accidentally goes there. But
I tried. Jason,
looks like you got one more thing.
I would like to also point out that for all the guys out there that are scared of getting into HVAC, we are literally hiring people that have zero experience. And we sometimes, if you've got the right character and the right integrity, we prefer you not have any, because we want to teach you the right way to do it. There's time and time again, most business owners will tell you there's a lot of turnover in the HVAC business. Mm-hmm. It's almost like fast food. Some guys get scared away for whatever reasons. They get challenged and all that. Bill is one of the most patient people that you could work for. You know, any company, you know, we all get tested on our patience. You know, those are trials of life. but as a whole, you know, having the right culture in a company that can help you grow and learn and always move in the right direction, that's the kind of thing that I think is not just a great thing, but it's a heck of an opportunity. We got a guy that's working at a gas station right now up the block from where our office is, and he's genuinely interested in getting in the field. We're going to possibly bring him in September and possibly get him trained on the install crew and how to do it. But you know, I nominated this guy because every morning I'd stop in this gas station to get coffee, and he's always moving. He's cleaning. He's putting stuff away. He's doing something. In today's world, most of the time when I go into a gas station, the gas station attendant is just standing there on their phone, and I almost feel like I'm interrupting them when I'm purchasing whatever I'm there for. So to see somebody just genuinely moving, we're looking for those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking for the guy that wants to be something, grow into something. The sky's the limit with this industry, and it all comes back to the individual and how much they want to learn and grow, and it's really all about you. So I just wanted to put that out there as well. Columbus, Ohio, we need your help. If you want to learn and grow a nice trade, we're here for you, just putting that feeler out there.
I love this. Love this so much. Well, everybody listening, if you're in an area or market that, you know, it seems like it's down or those types of things, clearly Columbus, Ohio is a growing, insanely hot market right now, which is awesome to hear.
Well, it's
time to land this plane. Thanks for being on, guys. I appreciate it so much. This has been a ton of fun and better to get to know you guys. And for everybody else, I hope you got some value from this episode. I know that there were so many nuggets that we just dropped. Listen a few times, take notes, you know, chew up the meat, spit out the bones. If there's something about that you didn't like, it's all good. There's 1,000 different ways to do this. There's no wrong way. It's just a different way. And this is what I love about us coming together in an episode like this. It's like rising tide raises all ships. And man, I learned some things today, and I appreciate so much y'all being on. For everybody out there, make sure to, if you've ever gotten value from Close It Now, speaking of reviews, go to Google and leave Close It Now a 5-star review. I appreciate that very, very much. Also on Apple Podcasts, I would love a 5-star review there as well. And Spotify has recently opened up the ability to leave reviews there also. And of course, make sure to check out the YouTube channel. That has gotten launched this last year. We're up to almost 100 episodes on YouTube now also, which is really exciting.
Awesome.
So make sure to go like and subscribe, because that every bit, all the reviews, all of the subscriptions, every bit of that helps me to grow the company and to bring more value to all of you listening. So if you've been paying attention, like I said, we're almost at episode 250. I've got some fun plans for that one. So be on the lookout. And man, thanks for being here, y'all. For everybody else, make sure every single day, work to be 1% better than you were yesterday so you can become someone worth buying from.
You've been listening to the Close It Now podcast. Our passion is to dive headfirst into the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement, and at the same time, covering fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth, proving that we can indeed have it all. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, find the website at closeitnow.net. Find us on Instagram at The Real Close It Now and on Facebook at Close It Now. See you next time.